Welcome to Money for the Rest of Us. This is a personal finance show on money, how it works, how to invest it, and how to live without worrying about it. I'm your host, David Stein. Today is episode 476. It's titled, Is Small Cap Dead? Why You Shouldn't Abandon Small Company Stocks. Just over 2 years ago, in January 2022, we released episode 370, Should You Invest in Small Cap and Mid Cap Stocks? Small cap and mid cap, the cap stands for capitalization, which measures the size of a publicly traded company. Capitalization is measured by the number of stock shares outstanding times the price. Small cap stocks are typically those that have a market capitalization between $300 million and $2 billion, although it can vary. Some take that upper range a little higher. For example, one of the studies that we'll refer to in this episode took it all the way up to $4 billion, which some would say is a mid-cap. Mid-cap is typically between $2 billion and $10 billion, and then large-cap stocks would be above $10 billion. But there are no set rules. These are just broad ranges. Now, it turns out, January 2022 wasn't a great time to increase one's allocation to small cap. Global and U.S. small cap stocks lagged global and U.S. large cap stocks by about 3% annualized over the past 2 years. The one exception, though, is emerging markets. Small cap stocks actually outperformed emerging markets. Emerging markets small cap returned 3.4% annualized from the end of January 2022 through March 2024, while the overall emerging markets declined negative 4% annualized. As an institutional investment advisor, I began that in the mid-1990s. We would have these university clients. We would do an asset allocation study using modern portfolio theory. And invariably, we would recommend allocating 15% to 20% of the publicly traded stock portfolio to small cap stocks. Why? Because it showed that the returns were higher and there was some diversification benefit. So by adding small cap stocks, we could increase the expected return of the portfolio without much of an increase in the expected volatility as measured by standard deviation. At that point, we would do manager searches. We typically would use active managers at that time, and we would do a search for a small cap value manager and small cap growth managers. We'd bring in two or three to be interviewed by the investment committee, and then they would select their new small cap managers. Now, that was the approach. And the whole idea was, well, small cap will outperform large cap, because they have, partly because their earnings grow faster. There's an argument, and academics would make this, because they're more volatile small cap stocks, that they should generate a higher return to compensate for that risk. If we go back 20 years, and this is data from Asset Camp, we have a brand new return summary table that we included in our latest update, we can see that global stocks returned 7.8% annualized for the 20 years ending March 2024, while global small cap stocks returned 8.2% annualized. So small cap has continued to outperform over that 20-year period for global. The same for World XUS. World XUS small cap outperformed World XUS, which is mostly large and some mid, by about 0.7% annualized over the past two decades. Emerging markets small cap stocks have outperformed the overall emerging markets by 1.8% annualized over the past two decades. The one exception, though, is the U.S. U.S. small cap stocks returned 8.8% annualized over the past two decades, while U.S. large, including some mid, returned 9.6% annualized. These are all MSCI indexes. There was an article in the Financial Times, which has done a number of articles recently on small cap stocks, one titled Small Stocks, Big Problems. The other was U.S. small caps suffer worst run against larger stocks in over 20 years. Now, in that article, they pointed out that using the Russell 2000 small cap index, it has now lagged behind the S&P 500, a measure of large cap U.S. stocks, since 1978. which was the inception of the Russell 2000. Since 2020, the Russell 2000 has gained 24% cumulative, that being small cap stocks, significantly lagging the S&P 500, which returned 60% cumulative since 2020. Before we continue, let me pause and share some words from one of this week's sponsors, Monarch Money. If you've been using Mint to manage your finances, you know they shut down several months ago. Well, let me tell you about the budgeting solution, the financial tracking solution I've been using for the past number of months. It's Monarch Money. Monarch Money is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets like I've done. You can set goals, collaborate with your partner. And now you can get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/David. What I like about Monarch is the ability to customize what I want to see. I have custom budget categories, and then I can go on to the dashboard and see where I'm above trend on some of my spending. I especially like that Monarch will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying Monarch myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/David. That's monarchmoney.com/David for your extended 30-day free trial. Greg Tuorto, he's a small cap manager at Goldman Sachs Asset Management, says, "I've been investing in small caps for almost 30 years, and you haven't seen big money moving into the space since 2016 or 2017. You need a little greed. You need some of those animal spirits, maybe a pickup in mergers and acquisitions, or a booming IPO market for small cap stocks to really take off." We'll take a look at why U.S. small cap stocks have underperformed over the past 20 years and certainly over the past 10 and 5. But one reason that I've invested in small cap stocks for decades, and I recommended it to institutional clients, was they do outperform, and they have globally. They haven't in the U.S., which we'll explore. But one reason is there's just less coverage of those stocks. There are fewer analysts on the sell side of Wall Street covering small cap stocks, looking at the underlying fundamentals of the companies, providing earnings estimates. Goldman Sachs pointed out in the Financial Times article that the median small cap stock in the U.S. has 5 analysts covering it. And 1 in 7 small cap stocks has only one analyst or no analyst covering the company at all. But if you compare that to the median S&P 500 stock, they have 18 analysts. And there are 66 analysts covering Microsoft. Because there's less coverage for small cap stocks, Greg Tuorto of Goldman Sachs points out, when you get small caps right, you're not right by 20% more than the street, meaning Wall Street. Your earnings and revenue estimates could be double where the consensus is. That leads to a more significant price gain. Tuorto points out the key to actively picking stocks. The current price is the consensus. What the consensus of investors believe earnings will be in the future, what sales will be in the future, and they've determined due to that, that this is the right price. And so if the company surprises to the upside, does better than the consensus, then the small cap stocks outperforms. The benefit of owning an ETF or an index fund is to be able to benefit from those upside surprises without having to identify which company will do better and jump in price. By buying an asset class that is undervalued, there are potentially more embedded positive surprises that can be had, generating outperformance. One reason small cap stocks have struggled over the past year is interest rates are higher. Small cap stocks, by and large, tend to have higher debt servicing costs, particularly because a greater percentage of small companies have floating rate debt and higher leverage than larger companies. And so those higher debt servicing costs have impacted earnings more for small cap than for large cap. If we look at earnings over the past year for global stocks, they've increased 3.3%. This is data from AssetCamp, whereas global small cap stocks have seen earnings fall 8%. In the U.S., large cap earnings have increased 7.4% in the past year, whereas U.S. small cap has seen an earnings decline of 9.5%. Despite the fact that small cap stocks earnings have fallen over the past year, if we look at the earnings growth rate over the past 5 years, which includes the challenges over the past year within that five-year time span, global small cap stocks have had higher earnings growth. 5% annualized earnings growth over the past 5 years versus 4.5% for large company global stocks. However, if we look at U.S. small cap, over the past 5 years, earnings have grown 6.8%. They've lagged the U.S. large company stocks that have seen earnings of 7.4%. And so in the U.S., large company stocks have had faster earnings growth over the past 5 years. It's been partially driven by the Magnificent Seven tech stocks, including AI, NVIDIA. That definitely contributed to large cap U.S. stocks earnings being very, very strong, or earnings growing faster than U.S. small caps. So I pointed out that global stocks, large company stocks, have outperformed global small company stocks over the past two decades. But if we look at a performance attribution of what drove returns over the past decade, we've seen global stocks, as measured by the All Country World Index, 8.7% annualized return, outperforming global small caps, which had 6.8%. This performance attribution is from AssetCamp. Dividends contributed about the same for both small cap and large cap. 2% annual dividend contribution for small cap, 2.3% dividend contribution for large cap. Earnings growth has been higher over the past decade for small cap stocks, 7.4% annual contribution due to earnings growth versus 5.5% earnings contribution for large cap stocks. So just based on those two factors, dividend yields and earnings growth, small cap should have outperformed large cap globally, but they didn't, because small cap stocks got cheaper. Their price to earnings ratio fell from 21.7 down to 18. That was about a 2 percentage points drag over the past decade per year, whereas global large cap stocks got more expensive. The PE went from 16.8 to 21.1, and that added 2.3% per year. And so large cap stocks benefit because investors were willing to pay more for them. Small cap stocks were more neglected, even though they had higher earnings growth over the past decade. And that valuation difference was enough to allow global large cap stocks to outperform global small cap stocks. And that's why it's so key to understand what drove performance. Is it the consensus have gotten more bullish regarding large company stocks and willing to pay more versus small cap? And that has been the case. David Lefkowitz, who is head of U.S. equities for UBS's chief investment office, said, if small cap earnings pick up, people will buy the stocks. The small cap stocks will surprise to the upside. And we could see small cap stocks start outperforming large cap stocks. If we look at forward earnings per share growth, this is based on bottom-up analyst estimates from IBES. Over the next year, they're forecasting, both globally and the U.S., that small cap stocks will have faster earnings growth. For global small cap, they're expecting 16% earnings growth over the next year compared to 10% for global large cap stocks. Within the U.S., small cap also expecting 16% earnings growth over the next year versus 11% for large cap. So earnings expectations are there. If we go out and look at analyst expectations over the next 3 to 5 years, they're expecting a little higher earnings growth for large cap. But one of the things we've seen is they're ratcheting down the earnings growth expectations for large cap over the past 3 months, while they're increasing the expectations for small cap. And one of the things that we look at in analyzing stocks on AssetCamp, as well as Money for the Rest of Us Plus, is, are earnings expectations increasing month to month? Are analysts getting more bullish? And they are for small cap, less so for large cap. Financial Times quoted Jill Carey Hall, who is a U.S. equity strategist for small mid cap with Bank of America. Their analysis shows the only time that they've seen small cap stocks sell for a cheaper price relative to large cap, and this would be U.S. small cap, was in 1999-2000, and that was at the end of the internet bubble where the valuations for large cap stocks were super, super high. And that started a decade where small cap stocks outperformed. Now, in the U.S., we've had a decade where U.S. small cap stocks have lagged. If we look at valuation data for global small caps versus global large cap, this is from AssetCam. This is based on forward price-to-earnings ratio. So I've shared with you the expected earnings growth. Now, based on that earnings and dividing those earnings into the price, we can get what's known as a forward price-to-earnings ratio. Small caps, just a little less expensive. The forward PE is 16.4 versus 17.8 for large cap. And so from a valuation standpoint, despite what Jill Carey Hall said, I don't see a huge discount for small cap, which would include both growth and value relative to large cap. Where I see a bigger valuation advantage is small cap value, which we'll get to in a minute, and small cap excluding the U.S. Before we continue, let me pause and share some words from this week's sponsors. We have a brand new sponsor to our show. It's Yahoo Finance. Yahoo's been around for decades. My first email outside of work was a Yahoo email address. But the financial side, I've used on occasion primarily to get data for dividend histories for particular funds or ETFs. But I was pleasantly surprised to get back on Yahoo Finance to see how it's evolved over the years. Now it's really a financial dashboard where you can get an understanding of what's going on with the markets. There are relevant articles from Bloomberg, Reuters, the Associated Press, and the Yahoo Finance team. You can look at the economic events calendar and see which data series are being released that day and what the consensus is. You can see the pulse of the markets at any time by going to Yahoo Finance. In addition, you could see all of your investments and retirement accounts in one place with Yahoo Finance. You get a consolidated view of multiple accounts. Yahoo Finance serves as a financial hub for your retirement accounts, but also comprehensive financial news and analysis. You need to check out Yahoo Finance, particularly if you haven't been there in a while. Check it out at yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Let's go back to this article by Financial Times. It was written by Robin Wigglesworth. He's with the FT Alphaville section of Financial Times. He authored the article, Small Stocks, Big Problems, and pointed out, yes, outside the U.S., small cap has outperformed large cap, including in Europe, the U.K., Japan, emerging markets, but the U.S. makes up most of the global small cap marketplace. So of the $1.7 trillion in small and mid-cap funds globally, $1.3 trillion is invested in the U.S. And so the U.S. is a big component. And his view is, well, maybe something's different now. Maybe the fact that, yeah, small cap outperformed over the long term historically, but given the U.S. has seen small cap stocks lag over the last decade and two decades, maybe something's changed. And things do change. And he pointed out that back in the early 20th century, really into the 1930s, 1940s, that stocks had higher dividend yields than the yield on bonds because stocks were considered more risky and they needed that compensation. Now that's reverse. Stocks have had lower dividend yields than bonds for decades. So something changed. Wigglesworth is asking, has something changed with small cap to where they will not be able to outperform, even though they have globally and outside of the U.S.? In the U.S., they have not. We've already mentioned interest rates having an impact on small cap stocks, but that's temporary unless we get an extended period of higher rates for longer. And that definitely is possible, and that could have a disproportionate impact on small cap stocks. But there seems to be something else, and Wigglesworth quotes two studies that I'll link to in the show notes of this episode, along with the Financial Times article. They point out in the studies that the quality of small cap stocks in the U.S. is declining. That because companies are staying private for longer, as funded by venture capitalists, historically, most of the IPOs, initial public offerings, were small cap stocks. And we've discussed this in earlier episodes, that many companies that do go public haven't figured out a business model that generates profits. So they get added to the small cap index and they're not profitable. 30% of small cap stocks in the US are not profitable. What Verdad did is they looked at their favorite measure of quality, which is the gross profit of the companies divided by their assets. In their paper, they show that over time, that percentage has dropped as the quality of small cap stocks in the US has worsened. But they also showed that the quality of large cap stocks in the US has also gotten worse. Not as bad as small cap, but there's also been a deterioration in quality of large company stocks. And again, it appears to be a function of companies that are going public not being profitable. So lower quality, and that is bringing down the overall index. What's fascinating is they find that this trend for declining quality doesn't hold outside the US. In Japan and Europe, they've seen stable quality or even increasing quality for both large cap and small cap stocks, particularly in Japan. Quality is improving. That could be enough to explain why small cap in the US is underperforming. The quality has gotten worse than it has for large cap stocks. Now, what do we do with that? Well, we perhaps need to be more selective in the type of small cap stocks that we hold. We want to make sure that they're quality. That's something that we've done in our model portfolio examples on Money for the Rest of Us Plus. We have an overweight to small cap stocks in those portfolios, but we've done it through ETFs that have some type of quality screen to them. They're dividend ETFs where the dividends are growing. And so because they're analyzing the quality of the dividends, whether the companies are growing their dividends, that suggests a quality company because they're generating enough profits to not only pay a dividend, but increase the dividend. And this was an aspect that we talked about a few weeks ago in looking at dividend investing. And that's how we've implemented it in our model portfolio examples. And we've had those small cap allocations in place since June 2020, when we realized that we wanted to increase our allocation to stocks, and we did it in a quality way, focusing on small cap. Now, they've not done as well as large cap, but for example, the US ETF we're in, the Wisdom Tree ETF, it's returned over 8% annualized over the past almost 4 years. The point is we're using a quality screen in terms of the ETF we use to invest in small cap. And both of those ETFs, because they're dividend focused, they have a value orientation. Another reason small cap has tended to outperform large cap over the long term, especially outside the US, is they get a bigger performance contribution from either the value factor or the momentum factor. It's just more operative in the small cap space, and that's helpful. A week or so ago, in our monthly webinar for AssetCamp subscribers, we showed a table where we sorted 46 stock indexes from around the world, covering 99% of the market, and we ranked them from which area of the stock market is most attractively priced in terms of its valuation is furthest from its long-term average. It's cheaper, more attractive than its long-term average, and we used a measure of standard deviation. In the number one position, the most attractive relative to its average is World XUS Small Cap. And the second was World XUS Small Cap Value. And then we went and we discussed what that means. This particular metric we were using is the cyclically adjusted price to earnings ratio. So it's looking at inflation adjusted earnings over the past decade, and the World XUS Small Cap Value has a PE of 15.1 versus a long-term average of 22.9. Now, that long-term average goes back to 2003. For World XUS small cap, it's a little shorter, but the PE was 18.5 versus a long-term average of 23.7. So in the webinar, we talked about there's an area of the market. If one is thinking about rebalancing, and we showed the high valuations for US growth compared to World XUS Small Cap. And one of the things that I did as an institutional investment advisor is I'd go into a client and we'd recommend rebalancing to small cap from perhaps large cap and show if we could get it valuation data. One of the challenges as an institutional advisor that I found frustrating and have at times at Money for the Rest of Us is not having the valuation data and the tools to make these type of decisions based on data, not on gut feelings. And frankly, that's why we're so excited about Asset Camp, because I finally have the tools I've wanted for decades to actually analyze the stock market in the way using building blocks, looking at valuations, multiple ways, getting real-time earnings data, both historical and forecasted, and have it right there. As individuals, we can get that now at an incredibly accessible price. It's one reason why we're doing a webinar to share with you a recent update where we've added more tools where you can sort by metric, just like I've done in this episode. So if you'll go to assetcamp.com/webinar, you can sign up for that. Webinar scheduled for May 3rd. Even if you're not able to attend, we'll send you the video recording. We need tools to be able to analyze the stock market so we can make basic decisions about where do we rebalance to. And right now, despite the underperformance of small cap stocks over the past 5 years and longer for the U.S., they're attractive, especially the value side of small cap outside of the U.S. And their earnings expectations are double digits. And that combination could see over the next decade, global small cap stocks and non-U.S. small cap stocks generate double-digit annualized returns. Now, when will that start? We don't know. But that's why we diversify. We'll make an allocation. We don't put all our money in small cap. But I don't think small cap's dead, especially outside of the U.S. The quality has not deteriorated like it has in the U.S. And that doesn't mean U.S. small caps won't rebound either. But certainly outside of the U.S., where we have continued to see the long-term outperformance, 20 years, 10 years, for global small cap stocks, I think they have a role in a portfolio, and now you might consider an allocation there. That's episode 476. Thanks for listening. Everything I've shared with you in this episode has been for general education. I'm not considered your specific risk situation, not provided investment advice. This is simply general education on money, investing in the economy. Have a great week.